If I were to take the time, and I'm going to try to be very brief today because of our meeting after, but if we take the time and turn to Luke chapter 14, you would see an account where Jesus talks to his people about saying that before you do anything, you really need to count the cost, whether it's to build a tower or a house or to go to war. You need to count the cost to make sure that you have enough to finish the project and be successful in doing it. And if you're going to go to war, you need to be ready to fight. Now, such was the case in the beginning of the Civil War, the Battle of Bull Run. The Union Army engaged in battle before it was ready. But in a far more important way, God calls us to be ready to do spiritual battle as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing that the image of warfare finds itself mentioned a number of times in Scripture. If you've read the last chapter of Ephesians, you know that the imagery of warfare is used there. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he pictures the spiritual warfare that goes on by looking at the armaments that a soldier would actually wear in battle. So that imagery is not impossible at all. It's very present in the Word of God. But in the passage before us today, and let me read it briefly, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, wait a minute. Am I reading the right thing here? It should be 18 through 20. Sorry. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. A good warfare. Warfare is good if you are fighting the right battle. This implies that if there's a good warfare, there must be one that's not very good, right? And I think this is very wise counsel. And in fact, a little later in Timothy, and then again in 2 Timothy, he said, those of us who are involved in this should not be quarrelsome in doing it. There's no sense in being antagonistic unnecessarily. That is not good. So the counsel here is to choose your fights carefully. Church tradition and arguments over church tradition are usually not very good type of fights, not worthy of fights. Came across an article that was originally occurred in Leadership Magazine some years ago, and this has to do with a Presbyterian church in Washington, D.C., and this pastor is relating the event. He says he once found himself embroiled in a bitter dispute over a coffee table. Quote, last spring, the hospitality committee put a little coffee stand in the narthex. The next day, the head usher of 25 years quit in protest, saying this was a sacrilege to the church sanctuary. All the ushers quickly became upset. Such a committee had put the coffee there. The session, that is the ruling body there, had to decide on the issue. So they set up a task force that met for 8 weeks to listen to the ushers and the hospitality committee. On one Sunday, a bunch of ushers decided not to show up to usher because we hadn't brought back the head usher yet. So then the elders were ticked off at the ushers. In the middle of that, the pastor said, I'm not going to talk about Jesus to anybody. I'm not going to make hospital calls or shepherd people through grief. I'm trying to figure out whether we should serve coffee in the narthex. Some fights are not worth fighting, but some are. The text is pretty clear. He says, fight the good fight. wage the good warfare. Well, you might ask yourself, how can I tell the difference between what's a good warfare and what's not a good warfare? Let me offer several suggestions. Ask yourself these questions. Will this topic matter 50 years from now? Or even a year from now? Secondly, am I enjoying this dispute in a perverse way? Because I like to have my way and win arguments. Another question you might ask yourself is, am I fighting for myself or others? For personal preference or for the future? And fourthly, am I trying to justify my actions? Those questions might help an individual to determine whether or not the things that you might be tempted to engage in warfare on are worth, in fact, fighting. But now he does say, fight the good warfare. What is he talking about? Well, earlier on in chapter 1, we read this, but particularly in verse 3, he says, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Apparently, what he's talking about in terms of good warfare relates to basic principles of Christianity, doctrine, if you will, the basic truths of Christianity. Those are worth fighting over. And the church, throughout its history, has had to do battle to wage a good warfare for things that were absolutely essential, but not for things that were not essential. Well, you might say, well, what's essential? Well, doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of Jesus Christ, atonement for sin, Christ's death, burial, resurrection, justification by faith alone, and the trustworthiness and infallibility of the Bible. Those are worth fighting for. Those are absolutely essential to the Christian faith. Those are worth, in fact, fighting for. And Paul reminds Timothy not to take sound doctrine for granted. If I were to take a longer period of time, I would walk you through a whole series of passages in the Bible where sound doctrine seemed to be at stake. For example, I take you very quickly now to Exodus 32, where Moses is on the mountain and God is giving him the law and he comes down from the law. And you know what was going on. If you didn't read it, you at least saw the movie, right? And he throws the tablets on the ground and breaks them. Well, why did he do that? Because doctrine was at stake. What had happened? Aaron took gold and fashioned it to an idol, and they bowed down and worship it. That's a violation of which commandment? The first one. Doctrine was at stake. It was a battle worth fighting. Or I could take you to Joshua chapter 24, where he had admonishes the people. He said, are you going to serve other gods? Or are you going to serve Almighty God Jehovah? That's a battle worth fighting. Or it could take you to 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah does battle with the prophets of Baal. Fascinating, fascinating story. One of my favorite Old Testament stories of all. And then if we could fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus often finds himself engaged in a battle. And who's his battle usually with? The religious leaders of the day who have taken their tradition and made it more important than the whole Old Testament. And Jesus is doing battle because he's fighting over things that are absolutely essential, not things that are indifferent. And throughout the history of the church, it's 300 some years down the road, and there was a council called, Council of Nicaea in 325. And the question over there was, well, we have to ask the question again. What about the doctrine of the Trinity? What about the deity of Jesus Christ? Those are absolutely essential things that the church came together on and said, yeah, these things are worth fighting over. And even further on, in Ephesus, in the year 331, and later again affirmed at Chalcedon in 451, the sovereignty of God. Basic issues were always at stake and needed to be dealt with. And then fast forward to the time of the Reformation. There are five terms that are used. They're called the solas of the Reformation. Sola is a Latin word that just means alone. And what were the five solas of the Reformation? These are things they said are worth fighting over. This is why they stood up to fight. They said, well, sola scriptura, scripture alone. Not tradition in scripture, but scripture alone. Scripture trumps tradition. Tradition can be good, tradition can be helpful and meaningful, but scripture alone. Christ alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. All to the glory of God alone. So those are absolutely essential things that are worth fighting over. And we come into the present day, and we're still, the Christian church is still obligated to do battle over things that are important. That is fighting the good warfare. And so what it all boils down to is this. It always comes up to what is the Word of God? Who is Jesus Christ? And what's the way of salvation? Those are questions that are absolutely essential to the Christian faith. Now, he does say, and I won't take too much time to develop it because I want to conclude this as soon as possible this morning. He said, all of this, if you're looking at your Bible, very next verse, verse 19, says this kind of fighting a good warfare needs to happen with faith and a good conscience. And if it doesn't happen with faith and a good conscience, then you're really missing the boat on what is going on. And he said, by the way, there's some examples here of two individuals who have made shipwreck of their faith, Hymenaeus and Alexander. And what did they do? Well, we're not told absolutely specifically what they did, but what they did was rejecting the faith and rejecting a good conscience. And then he says he's turned them over to Satan. Now, that statement might trouble some people, but basically what he's saying is, and is very different than it is today. If you were a part of the church, there was a church in the community. And unfortunately today, too many people have the idea, if there's something going on in the church I don't like, I can just go down to the corner and go to another church, or a dozen different churches if I don't like it. Well, in this day, to be outside the church put you at spiritual peril. And if you were outside the church, if you were outside the protection of the church at that time, you were at the mercy of Satan. Now, discipline in the church has always had the intent of reforming, of restoration, of bringing people back into certain good graces of the church and with God. So the point here that I just want to drive home this morning is that we really need to learn not to fight over things that are not essential, and be willing to fight and speak up for things that are absolutely essential. Father, I pray that you might take these very brief words this morning, especially the words of Scripture, and cause them to lodge in our hearts and our minds, that it may all be to the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray.